Techonomics on KGO 810. Google, Stanford, and genetics. That's the first story on this week's Techonomics. Host Jason Middleton looks at how our DNA could help us get individualized Medicare. And in the world of startups, where is the money flowing? And what companies might be on the radar to be sold? And to close this week's show, there was a massive economic data dump on Friday. So how will the markets react to the new numbers? It's all coming up next on Techonomics.
From the corner of Broadway and Battery in San Francisco, welcome to this week's Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. We're starting off this week with something that touches everyone, literally, our genetics, those 6 billion pieces of data that make up our DNA. Google Genomics and Stanford Medicine are partnering to start collecting massive amounts of patient data. And that data will be squeezed through massive research, eventually allowing doctors to personalize patient care, something known as precision health. To help put genomics and this very Silicon Valley partnership into context, we reached out to Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
It's Sanjay Gupta. I'm a doctor, I'm a neurosurgeon, and I'm a medical reporter for CNN.
Two major brands, if you will, are getting together, Google Genomics and Stanford Medicine. So I'm wondering, what do you see in that partnership? And then after that, we're going to unpack what genomics actually does and where it's going.
These are two brand names, obviously, in medicine and technology. And I think for a long time, I think there have been many terrific medical institutions that have not been as technologically sophisticated. They're what they were focused on around patient care sometimes, did not lend itself as well to really developing the technology as quickly. So a lot of the technology, even within health, is being done outside of these big brand name institutions. So in some ways, it's not surprising. I think everyone is looking at this as a good thing and an expected thing to see a partnership like this one.
It's all about data, really, right? So the patients volunteer their data, and it's collected, and then we start doing scrapes around it and research around it. Is that a 30,000-foot view?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's important to say that it's big data, and people use that term a lot. But this is big data. There's a lot. When you start talking about genomics, there's a lot of data. Hospitals can collect a lot of data on patients under the existing systems that they have in place. But when it comes to this sort of data, collecting it, storing it, analyzing it, you need to have a new paradigm in place.
Help us understand with a working definition of genomics, and then we'll jump off from there.
Yeah, our DNA. You know, we talk about mapping our human genome and looking at how it all comes together. And what we're really talking about is 3 billion base pairs, meaning 6 billion pieces total of these little particles of information that make up our DNA. And so each of us has these 6 billion pieces of information that then make up genes in our body, and then those genes tell our various systems, proteins in our body, what to do, how to behave, all of that. It's part of what makes us us. That is it. If you said what is a human being, in some ways, the blueprint is 6 billion pieces of information. For a long time, we've looked at little clips of that big 6 billion pieces of information map. But now there are people who are saying increasingly we need to look at the whole map, because we don't even know what we don't know sometimes about people. And so being able to really map the entire genome for patients can provide tremendous insights, not only into the patient, but into big populations of people as a whole.
It sounds like one of the results of all this data could be individualized medical care. Is that saying too much?
No, I think that is absolutely right. I think people have used the terms individualized and precision medical care for a long time, but I think in some ways it likely doesn't get any more precise than this when it comes to looking at our entire genome and seeing what is different about my genome versus somebody else, and does it put me at risk for certain diseases, or does it explain certain diseases that I might already have? That's all very interesting to know, but I think more to the point is, could you do something then if you found a particular problem or mutation or some abnormality with the genome? Could it be treated in some way, or could it give you some insights in how to best treat it? So that's very specific to me. That's very particular to me. And so I think that that is what individualized medicine means in this context. And again, you know, I say this now, we'll see what 10 years from now looks like, but for now, this is as individualized as you can really get.
As a physician, a practicing physician, how does this touch your practice, or is it a little too early for that?
Things are happening fast. I mean, this is obviously a very new sort of partnership that's occurring just this year, this summer. But ultimately, you know, we when there's certain diseases that we know people either have or at risk for, or we're concerned that they may be at risk for, we can order genetic testing. But part of the problem is that, first of all, it can take a long time to get the results of that testing back. Unlike checking someone's cholesterol or their sodium or something like that, this could take a long time. Second of all, it's a massive amount of data. Again, 6 billion pieces of data. Yeah. And collecting it and mapping it is one thing, but then analyzing it is something else. And that's part of what takes so long. And then to be able to take all of that and put it in the context of other people who've also had their genomes analyzed is another huge feat. Ultimately, it'd be great as a doctor to be able to say, you know what, here's some of the things that you're experiencing. Here's what I'm worried about. We're going to get genetic testing. It's going to immediately do all that. We're going to find out what may be different about your particular genetic map versus other people's and see if something in there is actionable, something that I could do something about as a doctor. Right now, that's a very, very cumbersome task to try and do that, and there's not enough genomes to even compare one's genome to, so the results aren't as meaningful. As more and more people do this, the results become increasingly meaningful because there's more by which to compare things to.
Next week, we're going to be speaking with a researcher that did a massive genomic study regarding depression, and they used 23andMe patients to do that as well. Yeah. Now, I know you weren't involved in that study, but it was 1.2 million people that did offer their data up. Is that kind of a study really going to help move this down the field?
I think that this is an important study, and I think most people within certainly the world of genomics and genetics, but also the world of mental health, recognize this. We've long suspected and believed that there's got to be certain areas of the genome that, because of the way that they're configured, put people at a higher risk for depression and for other mental illnesses as well, but really depression in this case. But we haven't known what they were. We suspected they exist. We didn't know how many. We didn't know where in the genome they were located. So all of that sort of comes about as a result of not only having lots of data, again, and when I say lots of data, lots of big data. So you're talking about genomes, and these aren't full genomes that 23andMe does, but they're still collecting a lot of data. And then being able to also pair that with the questionnaires that people do as part of that testing. Do you have depression? Have you been treated for depression? Have you been diagnosed with depression by a doctor? You know, all of these things get matched up into the analysis of these genomes. And at some point you say, well, okay, well, here are the people who have been officially diagnosed with depression, and here are their genomes. And what do we see in common here? And I think in that particular case, I don't have the study in front of me, but I think there were some 15 different areas that were interesting areas to target and look at and start to really drill down on. It's not definitive by any means yet, but this has given us more insight into some of the genetic relationships with depression than I think we've ever had.
We're speaking with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Dr. Gupta, one of the best things about my job is I get to talk to smart people and ask questions, but I'm also smart enough to know when I didn't ask the right question. Did I miss something that you wanted me to ask you?
No, I think you covered a good amount of ground there. I think that the this is early. You know, we're seeing science unfolding here, and you know, even with the Stanford Google partnership, I think it's a certain amount of data from Stanford patients, which is a big healthcare system. Ultimately, you know, the way that this unfolds, the idea that more and more people are going to get their genomes mapped and that data is going to be de-identified and sitting in a cloud somewhere. And so right now you get your genome done and you think, well, I didn't learn anything useful from that. I already knew that I should eat right and exercise. But at some point, as more and more genomes get done, it's organic. It feeds itself because the patterns start to emerge that could be relevant to you. They may not be relevant to you today or tomorrow, but in 5 years from now, you could suddenly have some insight that could affect the way you live your life or you know, give you some insight into something that you're already dealing with.
Dr. Gupta, thank you so much for your time and expertise this morning.
You got it. Thanks, Chase. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He's a neurosurgeon and CNN's chief medical correspondent. Dr. Gupta is also the author of Cheating Death, The Doctors and Medical Miracles That Are Saving Lives Against All Odds. Now, Google's overall stated goal is to collect, organize, and surface the world's information. The partnership of Google Genomics and Stanford Medicine is a huge leap in that direction. Coming up after this short break, we talk with a world-renowned investor, and we look at what companies might be next to sell. Maybe Snapchat, maybe even Netflix. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.